This is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects. Well, they're all my favorite subjects, but high on my list is handwriting, which I talk about a lot because I always have felt that that is what carries the real you through the mail. And I've asked Anne Mahoney to come back and talk to us about handwriting again. She gave me a copy of her book. You say the title.
Handwriting and Personality, which we're actually going to put on iTunes.
Eventually. Oh, wonderful.
So we'll let you know.
It is so worth reading this book. And all the little hunches and questions I had, well, she just took them on and went right down the list and answered them because my questions apparently were not so original and my insights not so just mine. So I want to go to you, Anne. I want to introduce you again as a handwriting and forgery expert, but that's really such a small part of what you do in terms of the overall art of handwriting analysis, no?
Well, there are many, many aspects. There's hiring.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the questions I had, I happen to have different handwritings, just depending on what I'm feeling like, what day of the week, and it doesn't even matter. I've got about four distinctly different handwritings, and I was wondering if you would see the same person in each. And you make that very clear in your book that you do see the same person in each handwriting. So it doesn't matter how you think you're disguising it if it's on purpose.
Right.
Let me
give you an example. Okay, today you're dressed in a beautiful soft pink. And either you did that to lift your spirits or you already felt very feminine or whatever. Another day I might see you in a military navy blue, and you may feel sharp and snappy and clean. And another day I may see you in all black, and you may feel very sophisticated or very down. Now, that's your wardrobe, okay? Mm. We go in your closet, and we see your wardrobe. But when I go in your closet, will I ever find a clown suit? Will I ever find lederhosen? Will I ever find... So there's still parameters. There's still limits mm-hmm. on how you're going to express yourself when you go out into the world. You know, are you going to be in short shorts, red satin hot pants, mm-hmm. and fishnet hose? Or if that's not part of your wardrobe, no. So your handwriting is going to show the same when you feel soft and feminine, and your handwriting will flow, and you'll be wearing soft pink.
Oh.
But the personality behind it is still the same.
But you'll see different aspects.
Well, right. Like I say to people, let's say, I mean, this is not a great example. Let's say you're in a car crash mm-hmm. and you are hurriedly writing down your name and phone number for the other person
yes.
for their insurance carrier. And then...
And you're frazzled.
And you're frazzled. And then you get to the hospital. Maybe there's some people... And you're filling out forms and they've given you a glass of water and you calm down. Now, this is all within maybe a 1 hour period,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
your handwriting is going to be rushed and frazzled, and then it's going to be maybe worried at the hospital. And then later they take x-rays and they say, everything's fine. You can go home.
Mm-hmm.
Please sign this release.
Mm-hmm.
And you, with a sigh of relief, and you sign the release and you go home. Now, if we take all those handwritings, they all came out of you.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to analyze as you, but they're going to analyze as different aspects of you, just like different aspects of your wardrobe. However, and this is what we do sometimes when I talk to a jury, when we talk about forgery. And maybe this analogy will make it clear because I'd like to give people visuals. Let's say I ask you to go to the airport and it's Christmas and you're going to pick up my brother at United at gate 3 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you he's 6 feet tall. He weighs 170 pounds. He's got brown hair. He's got blue
uh-huh.
eyes.
Uh-huh.
And you watch everybody get off the plane. And there's only one guy who's 6 feet tall,
uh-huh.
but he's bald. He weighs 300 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And, forgot to tell you one thing. My brother has a tattoo that says mom on his right hand. And here's a picture of the tattoo.
Uh-huh.
So you look at this 300-pound bald man, and he has the tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that my brother? Indeed, it is. So that the basics, or I could say he walks with a limp. And here's a video of him walking with this limp. Okay, certain things you can't disguise. So let's say I'm going to fool Anne Mahoney. I'm going to write this way. I'm going to write large.
Oh, I'm going to shave my head and pass to somebody else.
I'm going to shave my head. It's just like when they picked up Lacey Peterson's husband, and he was crossing the border in San Diego, and he dyed his hair blonde, yes, and he'd grown a goatee.
Yes.
But it looked like Scott Peterson.
Well, I always wonder about that, because you can see, why are people confused? You can see the person behind the beard.
They think he's fooling everybody. Mm-hmm. Same thing with your handwriting. You could disguise it and dye your hair blonde and put on the beard or the whatever, but the basics aren't going to change. If you are basically a good person, if you are basically an angry person, if you are basically a dishonest person, that's going to show up in your head. The basics don't change. All we're looking at, when you say, I have four distinct handwritings, Anne.
Seems to me.
My guess is you have four distinct moods.
Yes, yes.
That you're in, and you may print a grocery list when you want to be logical and you don't want to forget anything, and then you may write a birthday greeting. Mm-hmm. So when I can almost see your four different styles, but I can bet you that when we look at those, your basic nature will come through in all four styles.
Yes. And by the way, I even said, depending on what mood I'm in. So I was aware of that.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
So
now what about people who age? My mother, for example, who died at the age of 96, her handwriting actually never changed, but I have seen old people's handwriting. And when I say old, I mean, in their 90s.
Yeah.
Because I know there are people who would certainly call me old, but in their 90s, and it gets frail and changes.
And your mother's never changed.
No.
And did she die of natural causes? She just died in her sleep?
Well, she had, heart failure.
Okay.
Ultimately, your heart stops.
But she had all her faculties.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So what's happening now as we have an aging population is there's a thing called a TIA, which is a mini stroke.
Yeah.
And people don't even know. Like, I was with my mother, and I lived in a care center for a year and a half in San Diego. As a matter of fact, I stayed with my mother. I promised her I wouldn't leave her. And when she had an episode, we went to the doctor, and he said, well, she's had a stroke already. And I said, what? She's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. He says, see how she drags her right leg a little bit?
Uh-huh.
See how? And her handwriting had changed.
Uh-huh.
You
see the same person.
It's the same person. But you say, why does the handwriting age? My mother aged to 96 in your case, but her handwriting didn't age. What you're saying to me is her neuromuscular capabilities did not deteriorate.
So they reflected the same.
As opposed to my mother, who had mini strokes, and it affected her neuromuscular capability.
Sure.
Because remember, if you think of somebody like Christopher Reeve, his mind was completely clear. He could direct a movie, which he did, Rear Window, a remake of Rear, and yet the message from the brain to the hand, pick up this pen and write, absolutely was broken.
Sure,
the connection was broken.
Yes.
So if you had a stroke, you could be clear in your mind, but when you go to manipulate that pen, those neurons are not firing the same.
Yes. I'm thinking of something a little bit different. You'll tell me if it's different. Maybe it isn't. That sometimes with elderly people, the pressure on the paper isn't the same. It's featherier.
Because?
Oh, they can't physically make it.
Because neuromuscular.
Oh, so it's the same. It is the same.
It's whether it's arthritis, whether it's then they put them on medication for high blood pressure and they bring their blood pressure way down, till they're almost low blood pressure. It's all physical.
Okay.
There. That they just it's
so you'll
not
see
capable.
The same person. So what about see I say that when you get
But this is an important point that you made. Very important point, because you said it's all the same person. But when people say, well, there's nothing to handwriting because we all learn to write the same way in school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, then what's going on here when somebody has a stroke and the handwriting gets old and frail? And you can, I go to pool aerobics, and our pool instructor has a son who's still in high school, and he's had a stroke.
Oh, my.
And they put him on the Genentech drug TPA. So I have asked her if I could have a sample of his. Could I just see his handwriting from his schoolwork before and his schoolwork after? Because he's having a little trouble learning now. He's trying to learn Italian. He's being tutored. And I want to see how many breaks there might be in those connections.
So you can be helpful in that area also to people.
Hopefully. So it isn't a matter of just being elderly. Something happens. People who take a lot of drugs. Mm-hmm. It absolutely shows up in your... I mean recreational drugs, yes. Non-prescription, marijuana, cocaine, whatever. Yes, it affects the handwriting. Absolutely, mm-hmm. It affects the handwriting. Yeah.
Now, what about getting a letter from somebody? You get a letter from someone that you haven't met. You've been introduced.
Yes.
And I know today you get an email, but let's say you get a letter. You've got somebody who's really kind of a romantic soul and very etiquette-filled and sends you a letter. And you can see something in that handwriting about the person you're going to meet next week. What you think.
Well, let me tell you. It's interesting. So you get an email now. I have a friend who is in the concierge business. Her business is called Thank You Very Much. Mm-hmm. And she had she was doing business with a woman. She works in the hotel industry. She said, Ann, I have two thank you notes mm-hmm. from this lady mm-hmm. for presentations that I did and for something that I gave her. And I noticed, and we go back to your handwriting, she said, I noticed there's something a little different about these two thank you notes. Could you, and uh-huh. I need to approach her for business. Now, you're talking love letters, but this is her livelihood. She mm-hmm. says, can you tell me a little bit about her? Now, Holly is very schmoozy and just could make friends with anybody on the street. And I looked at her thank you notes and I said, this woman is all business. Even though these are thank you notes, mm-hmm. and the first one was very warm and friendly, mm-hmm. and I said, she is a get-down-to-business person. She is a brass tacks. Go in and you can be your schmoozy self for 90 seconds, mm-hmm. and then let her know that you understand that her time is valuable, mm-hmm. and that you are there for business. You're warm and friendly around the edges, but you're there for business. And she called me back and she said, oh my God, I was not like myself at all. She said, I don't feel I was dishonest. I was trying to talk to her in her language.
Oh, that's never dishonest, trying to talk to somebody in his or her own language, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And she said, this woman said, Holly, you get it. And you're going to train
Wonderful.
All my frontline people
Wonderful.
And whatever. And she said, I spoke to her in her language.
I mean, that's not different than if you're going to be visiting somebody in Guadalajara. You're polite enough to
right.
learn how to speak some Spanish,
right.
so you can make people feel comfortable.
Right. So if whether you get a thank you note or you get a love letter, and yeah. you say, how do I deal with this person?
What would you look for as a red flag in a handwriting?
Well, now, see, what's important in the love letter, though, is you want to see, is that person telling you the truth?
Oh, number one, I guess, yes.
Or manipulating. Uh-huh. And I actually, as you know, we've talked about, I used to do a show called People Are Talking mm-hmm. here in San Francisco and CBS. And we, on Valentine's Day, we had the audience bring in their Valentines. Well, it wasn't. It was after Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And they brought in their Valentines. And we said, we're going to look and see if you're compatible with your Valentine. Well, they give me all these Valentines. And I'm back in the green room before the show. And oh, my word. Two women mm-hmm. got the same Valentine.
Oh, my.
The same Valentine from the same man. And I, like a fool, because I was young and naive, I told the producer, I'd say, we can't do this. Well, of course, that's the very one they mm-hmm. want to open the segment with, right? I don't know, you can't do this to these two women. I mean, what do you do? Go out and buy a half a dozen? I mean, you could at least send a different woman to different, but it was the same.
Right.
So they kept trying to bring it up, and I kept pointing to different people in the audience, and finally, you know, and Fraser like, tell us about, you know, Judy and Helen, or mm-hmm. something. I was like, oy. And he was, okay, so.
But that's a step beyond handwriting. That's just out and out.
Well, yes, but it all showed up in his writing. Mm. Now, what I call the talk letters, this is a little tough on radio, but this is very easy to visualize. Mm-hmm. Think if you're drawing a smiley face. And I'm closing my eyes to make sure when I talk to you guys, you can see what I'm talking about. Just a circle with a smiley face. Okay, those letters are A, O, G, D, Q, anything that has a circle in it. Okay? What we're looking for is we're looking for hooks inside that circle.
What does that mean?
That's one sign. I don't want people to get all crazy, that's one sign of dishonesty, where the person's sort of hooking you into their conversation, and they're not, if it's open and it's clear, then they are open and they're clear and they're telling you the truth. But when it starts getting little hooks in there, you just have to, I'm not saying that you said what's one sign to look for, because you want to find several signs before you judge, but the point is you're getting hooked in. You're getting drawn in. You're not getting the totally clear, and or if you see a lot of loops on the right and on the left, they're double loops. I remember one time when I was in college, and we knew a wonderful man. He really was, who was a district court judge, and we had known them for 5 years, and he wrote me a letter of recommendation, and he said both Mrs. His wife, we'll say Smith. It is both Mrs. Smith and I have known Ann for 10 years. And it went on. And I said to my mom, but that's not true. She said, read it again, Ann. It said, both Mrs. Smith and I have known Ann for 10
five
years.
Five each.
He's known you for five. And she said, he speaks exactly like an attorney. There's no dishonesty in there.
Yes, I see.
But it's not. Now, how would the, now when you get a love letter that has those loops and those hooks, it's kind of like you're not getting the exact truth, and you may be getting a very good liar who is both Mrs. Smith and I.
Now, what about when, in terms of love letters, in all fairness, you may get signs that's a red flag for you and something that you cannot handle in life that may be okay for somebody else.
Well,
I think the issue is you have to take a look at this for yourself, not to judge a person on the whole.
Well, this is why when somebody says to me, tell me about this guy, and I always say to them, you have to give me a sample of your handwriting as well, because he may be great, but he may not be great for you.
Yes.
It's kind of like, even if you match up Prince Charles with Princess Di, if Camilla is his soulmate, well, because he was forced to do
it.
But I mean, you know, Diane was in love. This was her prince, and she was in love. You could have looked and said, well, and of course, she knew what was going on, and I think it was her sisters that said, but dearie, your face is already on the tea towels. You have to go through with it. But they may be great, but not great for you.
Right.
And, I mean, you've heard this for years when you read Ann Landers, and people will describe, she's with him, and he does this, and she'll say, leave them alone. The rocks in his head match the holes in hers.
Oh, nice.
Because sometimes, because what happens is, let's say you go to all this trouble and you do your best to have her see the light. If she's a person who needs to suffer, she'll go right out and find another guy who will prove that she needs to lead a life of suffering.
Well, you know, I grew up close with a family that they were the most unlikely couple. I mean, everything about them. You know, he was 3 feet tall and portly, and she was tall and slim and could have been on the cover of, I mean, even in her old age, they had such different personalities and you would never have thought to introduce them. And she once, really towards the end of her life, she was smiling at him across a room and with such love. And she looked at me, she said, you know, he's just perfect for me.
Oh. Well, people used to say that about Anne Bancroft, and who was it that she married? The wonderful
comedian
who wrote the producers
right,
and everything.
Right,
but people didn't really. I mean, Anne Bancroft had a very bawdy side.
Yes, and that
to
was
her.
Just from looks. And,
yeah,
yes. And sometimes you choose somebody who will speak for your blank parts. By the way,
yes,
but that's kind of another thing. So.
Well, let me say this with love letters. So one thing that I found, regardless of all the things that you look for, that is a deal breaker is if the energy levels don't match, regardless of he has a temper and she's really kind or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you look for, which we can do over radio, is you look for the pressure patterns. And sometimes you have to turn a piece of paper over. You know how sometimes somebody will hand you a piece of paper and you think, gosh, it's almost like the handwriting is embossed in there.
You can feel it
on the back, almost like braille. Okay. That is a massive amount of energy that's pouring out of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think, oh, well, and what I've learned, because people say, well, I'll up my energy, I'll run more, and I'll take vitamins, and I'll match his level. To a point, mm-hmm. you can. But people who have massive amounts of energy have a little generator inside, and it just goes and goes and goes all day long. That machine keeps. Mm-hmm. And what I have to tell people, if you're listening and you have heavy pressure, or if you like to, okay, here's another example. Let's say you get a photocopy. If we have a basket of pens here right now, and we have a fine felt tip, and we have a thick mm-hmm. felt tip, and we have a ballpoint, and we have a pencil, the person who has heavy pressure hates writing with those little scratchy,
oh, yes.
fine felt
yes.
tips. Whereas your engineers and your, they love those. Mm-hmm. And they write with a big fat line. It's a very, those people live through their senses, sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. Mm-hmm. Think of gourmet chefs, dress designers, artists, musicians, people who literally live through their senses, whether it's food, whether it's music, whether it's color, whether it's fashion, they really feel it and need it and mm-hmm. live it. Whereas mm-hmm. other people could care less about shopping, could be happy with their great idea of the salads, a pineapple ring with a scoop of cottage cheese. You know,
so below the belt.
they don't need,
right.
they don't even taste
yes,
the
yes.
different nuances and flavors and textures.
We're wired for different things.
Right,
yes.
where someone else is
right.
going. So now you get the new bride with the light pressure and the husband with the heavy pressure, and she doesn't cook like mom,
uh-huh.
you know, and he needs more.
If you're intelligent about it and have bothered to come to you, Anne Mahoney, for a little interpretive help, you'll have a point at which to start an intelligent conversation before you tie the knot.
Right, because...
And you'll be able to understand each other better and maybe...
Because he's not criticizing your cooking.
Right.
And he's not really comparing you to mom. He's saying, and he doesn't know how to say, boy, this food is bland. I don't taste anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she would be sick to her stomach
mm-hmm.
with port after dinner and cream sauces and
so this and, doesn't mean you can't get along and have a wonderful life
right.
together. You've just got to know where your adaptability has to lie.
Right.
Unless you've got a clear psychopath.
Well,
can we just get get into the clear psychopath or
that
the woman
shows up in Hamner. Okay,
yes,
now
or the woman who is so unhealthily dependent that she
yes.
is going to strangle you.
Well, now I have to tell you
two different things.
They're completely different, but there are also
some
men. Okay, now when we're talking love letters, I'm gonna
just do it.
Ruffle some feathers here. There are men who go to Russia
mm-hmm.
By the plane load. They literally there's a chartered plane, there's a service, and they go to Russia to get a wife,
right?
And they or the Philippines,
mm-hmm.
or wherever, and they want, because I've talked to them,
yes.
and they've brought me the handwriting of these girls.
Oh, they have.
Now, they hardly know these girls, but they propose. Like, they go over once, and they meet a girl, and they go twice, and they're suddenly engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys want a subservient
That's
woman.
Right.
They cannot deal with American women, or even European women. They said, I'm tired of being told I'm wrong. I'm tired
uh-huh.
of being told what to do. But here's the problem. And maybe it's okay. In they've had better luck, at least the ones I've talked to have had better luck in Asia. They go to Mexico. It has not worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Mexican women, as soon as they get here, it's like, this is great. I'm going to live like an American woman.
Oh, including talking and expressing yourself.
Yes. And
sure.
I want a big night out for dinner. Okay, I'm really going to get in trouble. It was an attorney, and he,
uh-huh.
he married a woman from Costa Rica and all this. And he said, you know, she used to be happy going to McDonald's for dinner.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, I'm almost saying his name here. You know, there's a point that she might rather go somewhere for her birthday.
And by the way, maybe she wasn't happy going to McDonald's, but at that point she thought that's what she deserved.
Right.
And now,
right.
God bless her, she's
right.
gotten a little strength and self-respect, and she knows she's...
But here's what was the most interesting with the if you want to call them love letters, it was mm-hmm. the women from Russia. I guess these guys thought that they were going to be adored, and these women just wanted out
of course.
Of Russia. And so they write in these love. One even said, he'd been with her twice, and he took her to the Dalmatian coast in Yugoslavia for
mm-hmm.
a They had a getaway weekend. Mm-hmm. She said, I want a such and such carat ring, and I want a such and such cushion cut in the diamond, and I want orange blossoms engraved on the band, and I want, and I want, and I want.
She told him this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, but he would, I mean, he'd already proposed.
Okay, but this is a whole other thing. Men who want women who don't talk and don't require anything and will follow. That's a whole other sickness.
Yeah, but they're not getting, right. But I mean, then he was like, I can't believe, da 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 da. I said, and you're telling me.
But what do you think their handwriting would show? Now, this is in a language you don't speak, but yeah. You're still looking at handwriting.
No. These girls were smart, smart girls. I have analyzed handwriting in other languages. These girls were writing in English.
But what if you saw the letter, the subservient letter in Yugoslavian or in Russian?
Well, you could still see that, but these girls were not subservient at all. The men actually had pretty low self-esteem.
Oh, well, that gets back to who's taking advantage of whom here.
Yeah. Right.
But the question still I'm curious about is if one of these women wanted to play the part of subservient, and I am, my darling, going to lick your boots.
Right.
I can't wait to get there and be your servant.
Yeah.
What does her handwriting look like if she doesn't, she can't mean this.
No, she can't. She can't.
What do you see in the handwriting?
So that would be, let's go back to your closet, and you've got on a sharp, okay, this may not be the greatest analogy, but yeah. A very sophisticated, sharp, beautiful black Chanel suit, and then over the top of it, you've put a house coat, and you put on the flat shoes. The basic nature of CPFH, Collier du Père, Foulard Hermès.
Okay, so you can see the disguise.
You can see that
layered
underneath.
Over. Okay.
What you see is not the disguise. What you see is the basic underneath. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What I see is the Chanel suit with the pearls.
Okay. So I want to recommend that, I mean, because we're almost out of time here. But will you come back?
Sure.
Okay, and we'll just continue this. I'm having such a good time. The point is, write those love letters in your own handwriting,
yes.
And let the person see who you really are. It will benefit everybody.
Yes.
Let the person see the mood you're in. I mean, even if you're writing to a friend or a sweetheart that you've been with for a long time, do it in handwriting.
But get those love letters back. Be wary. If someone doesn't want to write you, doesn't want to send you, I never write, then sit on the couch next to them and you're watching a football game, whatever, and I want to write you a little love note, pass mm-hmm. you a little love note, and have them pass you a little love note. And if they're wary to do that, then that should send up red flags too. I did have one when I lived in Denver, and the guy I worked for, who I did not know, had a wife in, not Colorado Springs, but south of there, and he was dating a beautiful woman in mm-hmm. Denver. He would never let me see his handwriting. And I found out later he was leading a double life. Uh-huh. And I said, this man has something to hide.
Yes. Yes. But and the joy of it is that you really get to do, for the positive, you do get to bear yourself. Why not let somebody who loves you see that you're in a crummy mood and you're wearing the flour sack over your beautiful whatever it is?
Yes.
And why not just present yourself as is? What could be a nicer feeling? And the same in getting...
Yes.
Things in handwriting.
You know, people say to me...
By the way, not to mention that when you handwrite a letter, you have touched that letter. It has felt the touch of your hand. You've probably held it to your lips before you slip it in the mailbox. They're getting a nice little packet of you and your DNA all over that thing.
Yes, exactly.
Just send yourself through the mail.
Yes, I agree.
The real you. Okay. So let's continue this because I know there's a lot more to talk about. Listening to you is so much fun. Because maybe next time we could talk about, you had an experience, you told me a story, and I want people to listen to this and stay tuned, about two girls who had been molested by their stepfather, and nobody could get to this. And finally, it was their handwriting, these two little girls, that solved the whole issue.
Right.
And okay.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming back. I just love listening to you. You're so interesting.
Well, you're so easy to talk to.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you.
All righty.
More to say on this. So for now, this is Janet Gowan saying thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. And please remember that when you write those love letters, just do it in your handwriting.
Absolutely.
Unless your arm is in a cast and you can't. But whatever the handwriting is, it's yours. And apparently the real you is going to come out whether you are in a foul mood or a wonderful mood. I mean, anybody gets to be in a foul mood sometimes, right? Doesn't mean you're less loving.
Right.
I know that firsthand.
Right.
You see me when I'm in a bad mood. Okay. Talk to y'all later. Bye.